Well, I'm sure you heard the story at some point this past week that a Swiss bank had quite a dress code and beyond. Well, the good news is, according to the AP, these Swiss bankers may soon be allowed to wear red underwear, black nail polish, etc. And the bank won't have too much to say about it. Now, the bank, UBS AG, said Monday it's revising its 44-page dress code, telling its Swiss staff how to present themselves, which generated a worldwide ridicule for its micromanagement of their dressing and dining habits. The code instructs employees on everything from their breath, no garlic or onions, please, to their underwear, which should be skin-colored, and even other little tips as well about wearing a watch for various reasons, making sure that if you wear eyeglasses, they are kept clean. Well, the question I had is, when it comes to a Minnesota business, what does Minnesota law say about it? What can employers direct their employees to do when it comes to appearance, personal hygiene, etc.? And joining us on the line, Marcy Frost from the law firm Moss & Barnett. You've heard Marcy from time to time on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss & Barnett on Saturdays here on News Radio 830 WCCO. Marcy practices in the area of employment law. Marcy, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, this was quite a story earlier in the week, quite a dust up. A lot of people wondered about this, how far a business can go in directing their employees and what they wear, how they appear, personal hygiene, etc.
Well, employers have a pretty good latitude in what they can put in print for what their employees should and shouldn't do. The extent to which they're going to be able to enforce it is a little more questionable. As you were saying, the Swiss policy talked about what color underwear people were wearing, and I don't know how they would ever intend to enforce that. The issues that arise for employers in the United States is making sure that the policy doesn't discriminate on grounds of gender. They can't make it easier for the men than for the women. You know, you can't say that men can wear jeans, but women have to wear dresses. It has to be more equivalent than that. And then there are a lot of times that it is necessary to make accommodations to a policy based on people's religious beliefs.
When you look at some of the suggestions they made, and they didn't seem all that reasonable for a banker, someone that's dealing with the public, potential customers in a one-on-one situation, that they are well-groomed. But I suppose in any situation, grooming, personal hygiene, that can be up to interpretation.
Yes, but an employer does have a right to require that the employees abide by certain grooming standards. And there have been times when employers have had to say to their employees, hey, you know, you smell foul.
Yeah.
Go home, take a shower.
Right.
The grooming standards that deal with not having a beard or wearing your hair a certain way can run into issues with various religious beliefs. But then it doesn't mean that the employer can't have the policy. It just means that the employer has to consider whether they need to waive the policy as to a specific person.
You know, I thought of an example, and it comes in the world of sports. If you go to play for the New York Yankees, sorry, you have to cut your hair and you can't wear a mustache or a beard. That's just the way it is. Now, other clubs allow that, but over the years, that's been the policy with the Yankees. You're going to play for us, you're going to cut your hair, and you're not going to have facial hair. End of story.
Right, and employers often do things like that for an image perspective.
Sure.
We want to be the clean-cut team. An employer that has had a lot of issues come up in this area is one of the clothing stores that is appealing to a certain type of youth, the clean-cut, all-American kind of look.
Sure.
And they've had some issues that have arisen because of their desire to hire people who look a certain way.
When we talk about clothing next, certainly my first job, my first real job, was at McDonald's once upon a time. I was a teenager. Jobs were hard to come by. I was thrilled to get there. The uniforms were polyester. They were dreadful. But that was part of the deal. You want to work here, you're going to wear that uniform.
Yeah, and that's absolutely permissible. And many employers, especially in the food industry, have uniforms. And the only problem that you can really run into as the employer in that perspective is who's paying for the uniform. Because that can differ from, the rules differ from state to state. But you can't take it, you know, when you were working at McDonald's, you were probably making minimum wage.
I don't want to tell you what it was because it was a long time ago and it's embarrassing. It wasn't very much.
But if you're making minimum wage and right. then they deduct from your pay a certain amount to pay for your uniform, well, suddenly you're making below minimum wage, and that's a problem. And so employers have to be careful about how they get those uniforms paid for. And even if the employer doesn't provide you the uniform, but they tell you go to a uniform shop and buy one yourself, if it's not something that you would otherwise wear, if it's not the beige pants and the red shirts that we see in the convenience stores, but rather it's a white nurse's uniform that you wouldn't wear anywhere else, it doesn't matter if the money came out of your pocket, it still can't bring you down below minimum wage.
I see. Now, can an employer decide at some point, you know what, we're going to change our dress code? Can an employer get into trouble going in that direction? Well, you know, I allow jeans, but it's just really starting to look sloppy around here. We want to change our image as a company. You know, starting Monday, business casual, Dockers, et cetera. Is that permissible?
Sure, they can do it. If they don't give their employees enough notice, they're going to end up with a lot of problems with inconsistent guidance with the policy. Because, if I don't own any dress clothes because I don't need them, then it's going to be hard for me to get them by Monday. And then, if I show up in my jeans and, what are you going to do with me? But absolutely, and it happened. We used to be a much stuffier society and everybody wore, their business clothes, and then we had the dot-com trend, and everyone went business casual, and there were some businesses that decided it went too far and that they weren't comfortable with what business casual and the message it was sending for the business or the effect it was having on their employees, and they backtracked on those policies, and that's permissible. Employers can control those kinds of issues.
Marcy Frost is joining us. She practices in the area of employment law, and you've heard her from time to time on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, coming your way Saturdays between noon and 1 o'clock. Marcy, good enough to join us about this whole dress code issue. Also, one of the things we heard in the story about the Swiss bank with the very detailed guidelines for what employees should wear, even dining habits, avoid garlic, avoid onions, etc., which seems to be in a business environment, no one wants bad breath.
Well, yeah, and again, employers, most employees are employed at will. The employer doesn't have to employ them. So if we tell you not to eat onions at lunch and you eat onions at lunch and you offend a customer or a coworker, in most circumstances, the employer has the right to terminate your employment. So if they have the right to terminate your employment, then they have the right to set out the policies so that you know what to do to avoid that.
Yeah, and that is, when you've been on the program and that idea of at will, at the end of the day, if an employer imposes something across the board where all employees are being treated equal, they have wide latitude.
That's right. And as long as they're not discriminating based on a protected category, for instance, if an employer were to say you can have anything you want for lunch, but it can't, have a specific spice.
Sure.
Okay, and that specific spice is pretty much only used in homemade, Indian food.
Sure.
Then there might be an argument that they are discriminating against their Indian employees by trying to, prevent them from bringing their lunches from home, and that could be discriminatory in that sense. But it's unlikely that you're going to have a policy that's going to cause those kinds of problems.
Going into a job, and any job I've ever had, and that's what I've liked about radio, it really doesn't matter what we wear. As a matter of fact, I didn't shave today, and no one would know. It's a wonderful thing. But most of the jobs I've had, whether it was my first job at McDonald's or I worked at a home improvement store after that when I was going to school, and then in some way, shape, or form, I've been in radio ever since. And there is an expectation, and most people know that, when you go on remote, or you're going before a client, or you're having clients in studio, much like a program like Minnesota Law, there is a certain reasonable expectation of what you should dress and what you should look like.
Right, and one of the problems that employers have had with their business casual or their casual policies is that those lines can get very blurred, and they will end up with... for instance, women wearing clothes that are just much too revealing for the office.
Short skirts.
Short skirts or dresses with just shoulder straps. They're showing too much back, too much cleavage. And an employer has a right to tell the employee that's not acceptable.
What about Marcy, before we let you go, and time's really tight, I wanted to get your thoughts about this one. What about women who choose not to wear makeup, even though the expectation in many business situations is that some makeup might be appropriate?
That's a really interesting question, and you're talking to a woman who does not wear any makeup at all. And I work in the legal profession, and most of my colleagues do wear makeup. An employer... most likely, well, I would have thought that the answer is no, you can't tell me to wear makeup. But there is a case that was just decided in the last couple of years in Las Vegas by the Ninth Circuit, which is the most liberal court you can find, where a woman was told she had to wear makeup to be a bartender in a casino. And she challenged that, saying, hey, that means I have to buy the makeup. I have to take the time to put the makeup on. Men don't have those kinds of requirements.
Right.
And the court said it fits the societal norms, and they found for the employer in that case.
Wow. Wow.
So I hope my firm doesn't establish that kind of policy.
Well,
I haven't worn makeup in years.
Well, definitely food for thought. Marcy, always great to talk to you. Thanks for your insight tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Marcy Frost joining us once again, practicing in the area of employment law. And, of course, you've heard her from time to time on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett here on News Radio 830 WCCO.